Hey, I'm Ruben. My band and I have a new song. I'm also a tow truck driver. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I get to go home at the end of the day and see my bandmates.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Welcome to the Rand CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Rand CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Tarvella. And today I have the honor and privilege of having a buddy of mine, Jake Havron. I met him in Austin last year at a weird weekend, but an amazing weekend with just a bunch of people from Ascend. Jake is a personal health and success coach who just helps provide everyone with a ton of value on the health, success, and business side of things. But I think one thing that resonates with Jake that I think a lot of other people just get grinding on grind culture and success and get it done now and do it. But his philosophy is a little bit different of just sustained success. And I know I've struggled with it, and I'm sure many of you listening out here struggle with it. So I want to have Jake on here to talk about it. But welcome to the show, Jake. How's everything going? And SoCal, you know, living your best life every day.
Every day is the best life, man. I'm glad to be here. And thanks for bringing me on, Mike. And I really hope that we could bring some applicable and exciting content for your listeners here today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing, what was the pivot in your journey that made you focus on sustained success? Because you see all the, you know, the grind porn, the Gary Vee, like they all served in like my life. But I think just would love to hear how it came to be of building those sustained success in your life and your success.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, the pivot was where I didn't even realize it was a pivot. It was actually almost 5 years ago when I was a nurse. And that was, now that I'm thinking about this, that was the moment where I realized that this is not sustainable. And it was, to keep it really short, I was in the ER working there and getting my hours in. I graduated as a nurse, by the way, for people wanting to know about this. But there was a man that came in. He was in his late 40s and he had a heart attack. I remember it so vividly. And, you know, our role as a nurse is to save people's lives. That's what we do and we get paid for. And so he came in a coma. And we did all the right procedures, got him taken care of. His family came in a few hours later and they were mourning. They were obviously weeping and sad. And finally, like the next day, he got out of his coma, looked over on his shoulder, was just devastated, but couldn't really express that yet because he was still kind of just getting up. And when he was able to start talking with me, he really wanted to know everything on how to never be there again. He was like, please, like, I don't want to be here. Like, what do I have to do? Like, thank you for, first of all, like taking care of me. And I was like, all right, well, take these prescriptions, right? Start doing these exercises, stop eating that junk food that you've been eating and you should be good. And he was like, absolutely. And so we let him off and, you know, a couple of days, discharge, everything. And I went on with my life and I loved helping people. And what really tore me apart and created that pivot, now that, you know, you ask a great question here, and now I'm thinking back to this, when a couple months later, same guy came in and I didn't recognize him right away, but he came in on the same stretcher with another heart attack. And when it hit me, Mike, when I realized it, it had that like snapping, that breaking point, you know, like when there's just that point where you just will never forget it. And I just was like, what the heck? I was like, this guy's in here again. Of course, we went and saved his life again, but it just shifted something in me that realized that my job as a nurse wasn't sustainable. I wasn't called to be a nurse. And that's where I realized that I had to make things happen my own way, or else I'm going to be like ripped apart from the inside out. And so I decided to go from, instead of getting people out of the hospital, my journey started in entrepreneurship of keeping them out. And that's where I became a personal trainer. But really that was the moment where I pivoted and realized that if I stayed on that same path working as a nurse, I would probably just, I would have no purpose, no drive. I would be helping people, but it just wouldn't be worth it to me.
Yeah. And that's great. Cause I resonate with that. Cause I'm 6 foot, I was 260, I was 23, I'm 30 now, but like I had chest pains going home from work. I was like, I'm going to die soon. Of like, just like this, and like, enough is enough. And like, going through that. And even 3 years back, I would work 14 hours in accounting. And then I would work 10 to 2 a.m. on like real estate. And then I would literally go until my body was like crashes. And even my friends would like, once a quarter, Mike just crashes. Like, I'll just go through it and grind. And so now it's just like shifting the habits, and even 2022, realizing measuring the habits that get you there. Because the successful people, it's not like they're just blessed. I mean, some of them were, I'm sure. But like in the end, it's like your habits dictate who the person you're becoming. And I just like in my journey, it was like, oh, this is it, right? Like if I don't eat like shit, I won't feel bad. I'll have more energy. I'll get more shit done. Like it's just like it's the Deion Sanders. If you look good, you feel good. You feel good. You play good. You play good. You make, get paid good. So, and you just embody all of that. And just even talking to, you know, seeing the, knowing the entrepreneurs that you work with and just tweaking those systems and not just culture shock, like just cold bath. It's been amazing to see and just being front row to it.
Well, thank you. And you hit it on the head. It's, you know, motivation only goes as far as you're motivated. Right. And there's a lot of people that get motivated, especially around this time that this podcast probably is releasing. It's around the beginning of the new year. And whether you're listening to this right away or a couple months down the road, you got to realize that motivation doesn't last, just like how sustainable results doesn't last if you don't have sustainable systems and habits. What keeps you going is discipline and habits that you can implement. And it's very, very key that you also shared that, Mike, is that it's 2 millimeter shifts. It's not like, I love that analogy. It's not like you're just jumping in the cold plunge and now everything's shocked and everything's crazy. And yes, that might work for a very few. Most people will fall back into their bad habits. They're very complacent habits. So what I would recommend, and we'll probably dive into this, and I'd love to really give some application, is take a mindset here as you listen to this and ask the question, because the quality of the questions you ask yourself is the quality of the answers you get, right? And so I recommend every single person to say, what habits can I start to either release? Because these are habits that are not serving me. I have clients that come home every night from work, and you know, they have a habit that, you know, they have a trigger once they walk in through that doors because they had a long day. You know, the very first thing there is like cookies or candies or M&Ms right on the kitchen counter. And because they don't have to even think about it, they just grab a couple, and they don't think that a handful a day doesn't matter. But that's a couple hundred calories every day. And you compound that, just like how you guys are in investments and in commercial real estate, you know, the compound effect. Well, imagine that with just that little habit, right? Or the habit once, you know, you get home and you have dinner and you sit back in that recliner chair, you already know that once you sit in that recliner chair, you're going to be gone for about 2 to 3 hours until it's about midnight. You're falling asleep, you know, watching TV or with food in your hands. Those little habits are either the things that you could continue moving forward in 2022 and hope that you could fix that next year, or you can ask that question, what can I start releasing right now and replace with better habits that don't complicate things, but keep it simple, which we'll talk about. But I just wanted to put that out there, Mike, on putting that question in your head, what can I start replacing for these habits? Because that will create sustainable results.
Yeah, and especially today, right? Like this will probably air February 1, so everyone's like, fuck, what was my New Year's resolution that I just already forgot about, right? So it's every day. It's not every year. It's every day that shift. So no, that's huge. And I think, you know, I've been asking like what's the one thing I can do today, like the Gary Keller one thing, to make everything easier and necessary. And like that question alone, right, for investors, and maybe buy a deal, call this broker, like, but it could be as like hiring a virtual assistant. That happened to me at Q4. Life changed. I mean, It was, so it doesn't always have to be the cliche buy a deal, but take that action that you control and go over it. And would highly recommend for those, and track your time, because what you calendar, what your actions do, just the time you track it, is what really shows where you're dedicating and prioritizing time to. Has been a huge change for me.
that's a good thing to do right there.
Yeah. So Jake, working with entrepreneurs, you know what, I'm sure you kind of, let me guess the painted picture, right? It's like worn down, family's like, what the hell? Like all you do is dedicated to work. What have you seen kind of that breaking point for entrepreneurs, and how do they get out of that rut of just like a scarcity mindset, limiting belief, whatever it may be, but what's kind of the trends that you've seen your clients or just, you know, struggling entrepreneurs really struggle with, especially in the last few years?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say the word struggling entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs never like to have the word struggle, right?
Yeah.
In their vocabulary, or even the word, you know, a failure, right? They actually mask it with the word stress. I'm just stressed out. I got a lot going on. But really what they're trying to do is avoid failure, because they know that stress is the make or break of them either taking care of their family, or they're going to be that failure that, you know, they were told ever since they started their entrepreneurial journey. You shouldn't do that.
There's no ego in entrepreneurship.
Ever. No ego at all. No ego at all. So I wanted to just make sure that, you know, we all understand that struggle. And when we say like struggling entrepreneurs, you might be listening like, I'm pretty good right now. And I work with those type of people that say they're pretty good. And I hope that you have things that are going really good. I'm not here to help you go from 0 to 100. I'm here to help you go from 100 to 110%. That's the little shift, the 2 millimeter shifts here, Mike, that take you from great to extraordinary, right? Because first of all, it starts all in the mindset, right? It's the understanding that there's another level. And if you're making great money right now and you're already in, you know, real estate and you have a great portfolio and you're basically financially free, or you have a W-2 job that, you know what, you have great hours, great pay, you're putting it into your portfolio, things are great. That's awesome. And I applaud you. And I want you to feel very proud of yourself for creating that, because majority of people don't have that. But the question I want to ask is, what is your optimal self? Are you meant to be at that level? Because you might be doing better than all your peers and the ones around you, but is that what God has called you to be at your highest self? Are you limiting yourself because you're not pushing for those habits and those consistency implementations that allow you to get to that next level? If you're making, you know, let's say a couple $100,000 in passive income right now, do you belong making $1 million? Do you belong making 5 million, 10 million? Like, what is your capacity? And that's an internal question. Every single listener should be asking that, because as entrepreneurs, first off, we get pulled in this idea and this concept that as long as we're doing better than those around us, that we're good. And when you're making significant money, you're already doing better than 95%, 99% of the population. But ask that question, what am I capable of? Am I meant for more? And if you are, then that should be those little 2 millimeter shifts that take you to the next level. 2 millimeter shift of fixing the language that you use. I was just at a workshop the other day and I was talking about how not using the word can't. Now, this is just something that we could implement right away. We've heard of the word can't and we say, oh, we shouldn't use that. It's a disempowering word. But let me challenge you. This is the shift, Mike. People say the words maybe at least once or twice. I can't wait to see you, right? Or I can't wait for this podcast with Mike. I could have easily said that. We get caught up in that because it has a positive outcome, but we're still limiting our subconscious mind, because really what you're saying is I can't wait to see you. Basically, you're saying that I shouldn't be waiting to see you. And really there's actually a negative detriment. It's not like right away you're feeling terrible. Like, you know, we hear the words or the phrases that we should not say the word can't in general, but we shouldn't say it at all. And so I challenge every person to stop saying the word can't and instead change it to, I'm so excited to see you, or I'm ready to be on this podcast, or I'm pumped up to be on this podcast, but not saying I can't wait to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
You see, even little shifts like that, because what happens, Mike, is that what happens if you start programming and training your brain to use that vocabulary list of saying the word can't, and even in good situations, you're more trained and conditioned to use it, whether you know it or not, in bad situations. Yep. Because it's just familiar. It's the law of familiarity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I was laughing because I still have from that weekend in Austin is like, I can is like, I would like to find out how I'm learning to. It's like, it's the positive frame, because how you do something is how you do everything. So if you're initially in the negative, when shit really hits the fan, you're going to be really negative and it's going to be exactly. Internalized.
Exactly. So it's the law of familiarity. Anything that is, you do not want to be familiar with. If you don't want to be familiar with bad habits, I recommend writing down your bad habits right now that, you know, you have to have a self audit and just be real with yourself. You don't have to share it with anyone else. But it is important to have an accountability group, a partner, a coach, a mentor, so you can have that safe space to talk about. But I recommend writing it down. If you know that you're falling asleep on the couch 5 times a week because you're so tired and you just watch TV and you say it's only going to be 30 minutes, but now it's 3 hours, or you're watching YouTube and you're there on your chair for till midnight every night, write that down and just address it and be aware of it. And the amount of liberation you have, Mike, by realizing what your limiting habits are or your bad habits, it allows for you to step away from it, to see it, and now create tactical changes and not have an emotional response to it.
Yeah.
And that's something that's very, very powerful. If it's a limiting habit that you know that you should be picking up that phone and dialing, right? And making those calls. and you're supposed to, your goal you set January 1st was to do 10 calls a day. And now you're limiting it yourself because you're getting complacent because you did 5 calls a day and you're happy. You're like, hey, I did 5 more than none. Well, you're doing 5 less than your actual goal. And you're really just letting yourself down, and you're going to lose confidence over time because now you're saying you're doing about 50% of the work and you're missing out on all those opportunities. If you compound that over a year, imagine how many more deals or enrollments or sales you could have got from that. So I recommend everyone to like just create a list of all those bad habits. Doesn't mean you have to fix them right away, but at least you are aware of it. And you'll be like, wow, I'm actually not that, I don't have as many bad habits as I once thought, right?
Yeah. And I think too, I think the biggest thing, I mean, we've all done it. Like I missed my 5 a.m. workout this morning, but the worst thing about it is like, you're losing the integrity with yourself, which helps like lowers you, like, you're like, damn, I missed this workout. But it that integrity with yourself, because it's you versus you. This is all like, it's not you versus Gary Vee, you versus Jake, right? Like it's just, you have to improve every day, and just losing that integrity with yourself. Like I'm going to get the workout in, but it just, I look at it me systematically of like, oh, I stayed up too late because I was working too much because I didn't delegate to my virtual assistant, or, you know what I mean? Like it just, I just look at it. I'm so systems oriented. It was like, well, I didn't follow the system. So how do I tweak the system to set myself up for success? Right. And like COVID knocked me down for like 5 days, but it's not like, well, there goes the year. So it's that integrity with yourself. Cause I've struggled with those calls, right? Because I had the frame of I'm an accountant, I don't cold call, like I'm sociable, but it's just like in the last 2.5 years of just, it's been growth and just being true to yourself and integral to yourself and just making sure you're executing on what you want.
What was that shift for you? Because I'm curious, you said that you went from your accountant, you shouldn't be doing these cold calls, but now you're doing it. Like, what was that for you personally?
I mean, to be honest, I changed. So for me, it was the frame. Because you cold call, you think of all the negative, but I'm like, I'm just going to call and just try to make a friend because I know I'm sociable. And so for me to like investors, right? Like I hope they sell the property to me, but if I meet someone, like I talked to an owner who has 1500 units, he wasn't interested in selling, but he told me about how he looks at properties. I'm like, oh, years of wisdom I got to learn because my frame was like, obviously I would love for him to sell me the property, but it just, I even too, like property tours, right? On paper, I'm going to Nashville and back. That's 6-7 hours in the car. I tell people as an adult, I go on field trips. I'm meeting with investors, right? So it's just like, I have the frame of just being a really big kid, but I'm helping people make money through investing in real estate.
Have you shared that before, how you changed your frame to build?
No. No, not, and it's so, no, as I say, I haven't. And it's, I mean, I've worked with like Jake and Gina education side kind of, I mean, I told people, I was like, I was going to get fired from my accounting job if I didn't take the job with Rand, because I was not that good of an accountant. And I worked 5 years in accounting, but the shift was like, the biggest shift was like the bigger pockets of, hey, I work 80 hours a week in accounting. I still work that much, work a lot, but I have more control over how much I earn and my net worth by doing real estate, because equity and the property manager, it's like the financial, it's all leverage, right? The truly wealthy people have leverage over time, money, absolutely, and people. So,
wow. That what you just shared right there is such a gold nugget. And for listening in this podcast, especially for the hundreds of episodes, you just got to see the personal deep intention of how Mike has changed from going from accountant to actually looking at cold calls in a good way. And I'm sure we could go, imagine just that was one question, right? Questions you ask is the quality of answers you get. Once again, that's the same thing with sales. And so what I want to really talk about on that, Mike, because I think a lot of people resonate with this, is if you're struggling right now with the outcomes you're getting, or you feel a lack of confidence, or like you said, Mike, you're losing integrity because you're not holding yourself up to the standards you wanted to, or you thought you had. There's this simple principle that if you guys are taking notes, I recommend writing this down, is that when your expectations don't match your outcome, you will have a major lack of confidence. When your expectations do not match your outcome, you'll have a major lack of confidence. So if you flip that around, and if you have expectations equals your outcome, your confidence goes through the roof. And so what was happening for Mike in the past when he was doing these cold calls, and if you're a cold calling type of person, or that's part of your job, or you know you should be doing it, maybe this will be that shift for you, that 2 millimeter shift. You didn't change your script. You didn't change your, you know, the way you're calling or the services you're using. You're changing your expectations, your perception. So Mike went from before the expectations of I need to close this deal, or I need to, you know, get this opportunity. And if that outcome, which we already know the numbers, let's say, you know, 2 out of 10 calls, it'll be a no. That means that 80% of the time with his expectations saying I need to close a deal or make a commission or whatever your expectations were before, 80% of the time, you're going to be a failure. And that's not a good way of feeling when you're doing hundreds and hundreds of calls. That will compound into a loss of integrity. But because you changed your expectations to, I just want to build an incredible friendship with this person. I want to be genuine. And it doesn't matter what the outcome is. I want to make sure this person knows that I'm giving them everything I can, right? That's actually one of the things when I train sales teams and work in different corporations or real estate teams or whatnot, that's very, very powerful. It's not just saying that I'm going to be better friends, but really ingraining that and setting your intentions that 20 for 10 seconds before your call, just like before this podcast, before every single coaching call, before every session I have, Mike, even if I'm about to go on stage, I sit down or I stand up, I close my eyes and I pray for 10 to 20 seconds. I set intentions. I get into a peak state, but I'm just getting aligned with what my purpose is. And that's all it takes. So every time you get on that call in the future, just for 10 seconds before you dial, just say those words of like, you know what, no matter, I would say this, and I've actually helped people in the past do this, no matter what the outcome of this call is, I am going to make sure that this person knows that they're having the best experience and I could find a way to be a friend or find a way to build a relationship with them, you know, or you ask the question of, how can I just build the relationship that I want on this call? Simple. Yeah. So now going back to all of that, your expectations to build a relationship, I'm pretty sure whether they say yes or no, or they aren't interested or are interested, your percentage of building a relationship will be much higher naturally because you're not trying to get a yes or no close. You're just trying to have a great outcome. Yeah. Now your integrity and your confidence goes up because you're actually meeting your expectations with your outcomes. And almost all the time, if not always, when you are in having intentions of building a relationship, you're becoming a better salesman and you actually will close more deals because yeah. We know the best type of salesmen out there are the ones that are not trying to be salesy.
Yep. Yeah. No, and it's funny because you just inherently, it's not white knuckling of the sale. It's just like, I'm just calling someone, right? If it's like, I'm calling Jake, anyone, right? It's just like, I'm calling someone I know. So it's that frame shift is very, very practical going through it because I know a lot of people are like, I'm afraid to call a broker. Guess what? Brokers aren't probably going to answer the first call anyways. So it's okay. It takes, and the frame too of like, for those investing or just starting or even in it, you're building a 10, 20 year business. You don't have to do 100 deals this year. It's going to be okay.
That's very powerful what you just shared. And this might sound like woo-woo. This might sound like, that's not, I need to know scripts. I need to know exactly the right words to say. But one thing that someone needs to know and hear this right now, because I know this is very, very apparent in the real estate business, the investor business, because we think very tactical, that 7% of the communication you have through that phone is the words you say. So I don't care how good your script is. If you feel like you need the right closer, the right, grassroots transition, like I work on all that stuff. I help optimize people's scripts on that, but that is not the game changer. That's only 7% of communication. 38% of it is your tonality, your cadence. And I'll tell you this right now, Mike, your cadence will be a lot better and a lot more influential if your expectations is to build a relationship and not to have a close. You will better listen to the words and the cues that they give because you're trying to build that relationship and you're not just trying to push them into the next step of the process of getting them, through the application or they're getting their money or whatever that is. So 38% of that is the tonality. And even through a phone, it doesn't matter if you don't see them in person, your body language is huge. It's 55%. I was just working with one of my clients, sales reps, because that's one of the things I do is I see where you need help. And for him, his sales rep needed help. So I got on a call with him and an amazing, amazing young man from the Philippines, very fluent English, loved it. And one of the things I noticed right away is when he was working with me is he was sitting down and he was slightly slouched. And when I had him practice the script and I was optimizing it for him, tell in his tonality and the way he was speaking, you could tell that he just didn't have as much energy. And even though they're just on the phone with you, they will be able to feel that. So I had him change that. I said, hey, all right. I told him about confidence and posture and how that makes a big difference and really ingrained that. But I was like, okay, stand up tall, roll your shoulders back or sit up tall for him. And I was like, now say the script. And I had my client listen in. I was like, did you see the difference? Hear the difference? He was like, absolutely. And I asked the sales rep, I was like, did you hear the difference? And he had a big smile come on his face. He's like, yeah, I do. That little shift in your body language, just like if someone's watching this on the video here, I'm standing up, I'm using my hands because that's just how I speak. If I was sitting down, I'd feel limited. Your body language has 55% of your communication. So next time you get on that phone, make sure you're sitting up tall, you're standing tall, you're taking a deep breath in so you can feel relaxed. Have the full package coming in on the expectations of giving that relationship and building that relationship. I guarantee you, you're going to see a big difference on the way those calls go, especially with all those areas hit.
No, that's, yeah, it's definitely is a huge piece. And just, I think of like the Tony Robbins getting in state and walking on UPW, just walking on the fire, and it definitely helps. And
You're scaring some people here, Mike. They're like walking on fire, getting into state.
You don't walk on fire every morning when you get out of bed. part of the Tony Robbins, unleash the power with it.
Fire pit right here. So every morning I, you know, hop in the cold shower and then I just walk on fire every morning.
Yeah, no, that's doing that exercise proves that like the mentality and the posture, because just reliving that moment was huge. And just thinking of like you big chest, shoulders back, deep breaths, and just, and those moments, it's not like the more successful person or the person that you look at is like, doesn't have the same doubts and fears as well. They just can't have control of their mind, which kind of one thing I'm curious on too is what do you see like when it comes to habits or just kind of like, I know I didn't really measure my habits until this year, but for someone who's like looking to get dialed in, what are some things that, or even misconceptions that people have about habits that you'd like to kind of help share and dial in, especially like I said, it's February 1, people dropped and forgot their New Year's resolution already. How does that person redial in to that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get a little specific here. And so my question is, are you thinking more of like lifestyle habits, performance habits, or like business habits?
I would say performance, because I think a lot of people look up to the very successful and they're like, and even just seeing like the GoBundance circle, it feels like that circle of execution is like exponentially higher than the average. It could be perception, but I'm just the GoBundance level of execution and the millionaire case studies we've seen have been so high that like I know I was in not the same mindset. I was like, man, how are they even doing that? Like they seem like I'm on a whole other level. So I'm just curious to see kind of performance to help dial that in for the listeners. Absolutely. Out there.
So peak performance habits, we probably heard of that all the time, to be in peak performance. What does that really mean? Well, when you have more peak performance habits that you do consistently, not here and there, that will raise your business success because you're focusing more, you have more brain clarity, you have more energy, you have more drive, right? It's going to raise your relationships because you're having, once again, more energy, more passion, more purpose, especially if you're a man listening to this. Women love, whether you have a woman in your life or not, they love a man on a purpose and that has a mission that's so clear that they are so stable on that a woman can lean on them. And that's when the masculine and feminine works out right. So peak performance habits really drive everything else. And so one of the most important peak performance habits that if you're listening to this right now and you fell off on it, or you're every other day or once a week, it's okay, but let's implement it, is your morning and night routines. And we've heard that time and time and time and time and time again. But what does that really mean, Mike? Well, I like to look at it as like your morning and night routines are like the bookends of your day. And the books on your shelf. So visualize like your shelf full of books, right? I know a lot of us have shelf help and we get a book and we put it there, but we'll fix that as well. Imagine those books, that's your life. And imagine if those books are out in the open terrain and it's gusty and there's wind and rain and all these different, you know, little animals scurrying around. If you have no stability on either side of the book, one little feather, one little gust of wind could come around and all your books fall over. And that's what happens in a lot of people's lives nowadays, especially going through these crazy times. And it is just, if you're watching the news, please turn it off. And if also you're getting updates on your Instagram, I used to do that too, where I'd get updates from, you know, free thinkers and people like that. And yes, it's factual and true, but it still pulls you away from your purpose. And I had to cut even those things off. Right. Yeah. But a lot of us right now are getting pushed and pulled in all different directions because we don't have stability. So I want you to look at, if you brought in a nice, stable morning routine and night routine, look at that as like strong steel bookends that are keeping you stable, that even if the worst terrain and wind and rain comes through, you're standing strong. Because you can't control, I wouldn't say the word can't, I'll fix that right there. It's very hard. So yeah, that's a little thing. I fix myself. I'm not perfect on that sense, but you're not able to fully control what goes on in your life. But the more you bring stability, the more you have control overall. So morning routine, before anything else, have a solid morning routine. I know a lot of people in GoBundance follow the Miracle Morning. It's an hour long. If that's not something for you, this is the first thing I'll say, is don't worry about doing the whole hour. If you have 15 minutes, when you have 15 minutes, because if you don't have 15 minutes, you don't have a life, right? If you can't, you're not able to take 15 minutes out of your day, you do not.
There's better questions we got to ask in that scenario.
Yeah, there's better questions of how much do you really want this, right? So what I would recommend in the morning routine, number one, if you guys want to write this down, whoever's listening to this, is within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you're drinking water and you're drinking 20 ounces of water. There's clinical studies that show that when you drink 20 ounces of water within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you are actually burning up to 16% more calories throughout your day, because your body basically turns into a furnace because it has to cool down all that water you're drinking, and it's actually burning more fat, right? Who wants to burn more fat, especially with our New Year's resolutions? Yes, let's go. 20 ounces of water. You could put a little lime or lemon juice in there. It does help a little bit with your, with alkalinity, which is a great thing. But not only that, that water is not just giving you more energy. It's giving your brain more focus. Your brain is made of over 70% water. You've been sleeping for 6 to 8 hours. You're dehydrated. You got to hydrate your body right away. Your gut, you're going to have less inflammation and bloating, right? So if you feel a little pudgy, it's probably because you're actually not drinking enough water. So your body's holding on to all this water. If you give it the right amount of water it needs, it will release that because it's saying, okay, I'm good. All right. So right away, 20 ounces, just let that be the trigger for the rest of your morning. And one little pro tip before this is, even before you drink water, and this is just very, very advanced, but I know your listeners are looking for this, is before you drink water or put anything into your body, you should, number one, brush your teeth. And number two is, I recommend getting, it's called a copper tongue scraper on Amazon. It's like $8. And what happens is, when you're sleeping, whether your mouth is open or not, you have some gross stuff sitting in hour. And your wife or your girlfriend or, you know, significant other probably knows that when you try to talk to them in the morning. But before you drink any water, you should scrape your tongue, which you'll realize how gross that is, but how necessary it is, and brush your teeth. It's actually very, very evident for keeping your immunity higher, because there's a lot of bacteria and fungus and all this gross stuff that you would actually be ingesting. So your immunity is better. You actually will decrease your risk for any heart problems, because you have a lot of plaque that builds up, and that plaque actually could clog your arteries. And it's a simple little thing. So scrape your tongue, brush your teeth, and then go drink your water, and you're already on to a great morning routine. And I could go on and on about this, but I feel like that right there, if people just start implementing that every single day, you'll be more likely to do the other things that maybe you do for your morning routine on a consistent basis.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I think you spoke this on a different podcast, but like, whatever your morning routine, you're dialing in for you. Cause I think everyone defaults to the savers and the morning miracle. It's like, I get up, meditate, and I set a backup timer just in case I fall back asleep. I'm just going through my day, do Lumosity, and just like kind of get through get the brain going so that I can fire it. But it's your routine, it's your day. There's going to be learning lessons, and have forgiveness on that, because you can, it's your life in short. So just execute how you want.
I had a client, it's so good you brought this up. I had a client that was doing the savers, and he was just like, I just don't really resonate with the journaling. He was like, it's just not my thing. And so he allowed that one fault of not wanting to do the journaling to affect his entire morning routine. And he wouldn't do it because he felt like a failure, even though he didn't want to express that because he couldn't do one area. If you're not a journaler, don't do it. Yes, it has its benefits, but really do, like how Mike said, what's specific for you. My recommendations, number one, is if you don't have a morning routine, I recommend I do this every morning, because it's just, even though it's the same thing I hear every time, it puts my mind on focus and it allows for me to be purpose driven. And sometimes if I try to meditate without anything, my mind wanders. And I know a lot of people are like that, especially in the entrepreneurial space. But is go on YouTube and search up Tony Robbins priming, P-R-I-M-I-N-G. It's 15 minutes. And it's, if you had nothing else to do in your morning routine besides that, you'd be very, very well off. It goes through breath work. So you're hyperoxygenating your body, which means more focus, more energy, more stamina. You're going through gratitude. So you're getting your heart-centered intentions right. I don't care if you believe in a higher power or not. You have to understand that heart-centered leaders, purpose-driven leaders, always go further than intellectual leaders, right? Because the heart has actually more of a intelligence to it. Did you know that actually your heart starts beating before your brain is developed? Your heart actually
starts beating. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Born, when you're newborn, your heart actually has cells in it that allows for it to independently start beating before your brain is even developed. That's the power of your heart. There's a lot of intelligence in your heart, and we have to get more into that heart center. Not only that, and I'm not trying to go woo-woo on everyone. That's not how I am, but I try to bring the abstract with the concrete to create something that creates real results. Your heart, when you're in a heart-centered mindset, you have an energy field, and they measure this through an actual graph where they can see the energy field. Before it was just all woo. Now they can measure it. Your heart, when your heart's centered, meaning that you're getting in gratitude, you're experiencing love and gratefulness, and you're not, you know, resentment, and you're not, you know, stressed. Your heart has an energy field up to 9 feet out of your body. How does that make sense? Well, you ever had that where like some person comes into the restaurant, you don't hear anything, you don't see anything, but for some reason, you just get this intuition to look at that person or turn your head and you feel something, even though you don't really? That's because you felt their energy space hit yours. And you have a bigger energy space when you're more heart-centered, 9 feet. Your brain only has an energy field of 3 feet. So when you get out of your head, because if you're in your head, you're dead. You'll always think yourself to death. When you're in your heart, you'll have way more impact and way more influence.
No, and that's so amazing. Quantifying that's nuts.
Yes. So this priming, it takes you through 2 minutes of gratitude, just getting in your heart, just thinking of all the grateful things you've gone through. You know, I think a lot of us probably listening into this, maybe read the new book, Gap in the Gain. Have you read that, Mike?
Yeah, that book, super easy read. Everyone should buy. That was my second favorite book of 2021.
So good. I just finished it. If you haven't read it, I recommend reading it. Dr. Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan are incredible. But literally what happens is the whole dilemma in entrepreneurship is we always focus on the gap, which means where we are now to where our ideal goal is. But the problem is that we will always keep pushing that goal back because we're growth driven. So we will always focus on the lack of what we don't have, where if you just simply flip it to look at the gain that you did have already, how far you've come, you will be much happier, fulfilled, more energized. So what gratitude does is it allows, especially in the Tony Robbins priming, if you couldn't tell, he's one of my greatest mentors, even though I've learned from a lot of people, is gratitude allows for you to look at the gains that you've already had, to go in that moment of that accomplishment, of that, you know, that's just little feeling that you had of gratefulness. And it puts you back into that mindset of gain. So that right there, Mike, if you do this and do the priming routine, plus, you know, visualization, plus a little bit of, you know, just internal, just focus, you'll be set off for the day. And I can, if you do this, send me a message on Instagram at Jake Cavron. Let me know you did it, because I love hearing that. But this will be the shift on creating that stable morning routine. We'll talk about maybe night routine another time, but that right there, those peak performance habits are what's going to really drive you to have a successful 2022.
Yeah. And it's foundational, right? Cause it's the rhythms that you're creating, and it's the same thought as like the make your bed, right? Cause you're executing on that one thing, but that's super powerful of everything kind of going through that. But Jake, ton of value already given. But what is your one investor pro tip for our listeners out there who want to dominate 2022 and beyond?
One, huh?
You can do a couple. I won't police it.
I'm going to give some context to this because I know people have heard this a lot. It's invest in yourself. And the reason why I say that, and you've probably heard this, and you're like, don't tune me out just yet, right? The reason I say that is because what I have found is that every single business, every single entrepreneur is always bottleneck. It's just a fact at the limitations of where their mindset is at. So if you're at a point where you're making a couple hundred thousand dollars, you're doing it by yourself, you're a solopreneur, and you're wanting to scale, but you're having trouble on that, it's because you're somewhere deep down bottlenecked on the limitation that you have a problem with giving away delegation. And your ability to go from 300,000 revenue or 500,000 to a million, you need delegation, or else you are working a very, very high paying job and you're actually going to be burning yourself out. So that bottleneck can be expanded by your personal development. That means reading books on how to properly delegate, getting a coach or a course or a mentor that guides you into that, so you could release even that that fear of, you know, I don't want to get burned, or I don't know if they're going to be able to help me. That always comes back to a bottleneck, right? If you feel like there's no way to balance your relationship with your work and success, and you see there's a lot of tension between the two, as work succeeds, your relationship goes down, or as relationship goes up, because now you're focusing on that because you already realized it's causing problems. Now your work is going down. That's also a bottleneck of not understanding fully yet. Doesn't mean you won't, but yet, how to have a lifestyle integration. I don't say balance, right? Balance is like a teeter-totter. One goes up, the other goes down. No, it's an integration, so you could have a beautiful relationship while also being massively successful. It all comes back to your psychology of how far you are personally developed. So my recommendation, if there's one thing to invest in yourself, is to invest in yourself. Invest in finding solutions to the problems you currently have. Reaching out to people that know the answers that you don't know yet, because that right there is more profitable, more compounding than any investment out there to history to date. And even the most wealthiest man in the world, or one of them, Warren Buffett, he would say the same exact thing. So you've heard this time and time again, but I urge you to figure out where those bad habits are that we talked about. Urge you to figure out those problems you don't have a solution yet, to go and invest your time, energy, and effort into finding out how you can get there quicker, because it's out there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think even to those people who are like skeptical of the investor self, because I fell into that, but essentially just leverage, right? You're leveraging the experience of someone else to help jumpstart that growth hack, right? There's consulting, there's so many businesses that do it. So why not, you know, whatever your goal is, align with that person, see what the fucking happens, right? Because I was doing deals being an accountant still. I worked for a group, or I'm, you know, joined Rand. I've done 30 million in real estate. I was still doing accounting. I would have not had that growth. Continuing to surround myself with people who do deals, who learn, who grow, who scale, and invest in themselves to, because of that leverage, and just because we only live a life once.
Absolutely.
I want to give a shout out
really quick to you, Mike, as well, for you doing this. I didn't know your full story, but to hear from within 2 years, you've gone from an accountant to now running a podcast that's very successful. These people that are listening and respect you, obviously that's why they're tuning in. And now taking that leap of, like you said, you didn't know what personal development was. You were afraid of investing, but look at where you're at now. And that's only been 2 years. And you understand compound growth probably more than anyone else. That's why you're in investment space. Imagine another 3 years, another 5 years. Like, it's happening now. And I just want to really acknowledge you, because it's amazing to see. I know there's a lot of people that are following your footsteps that maybe were in your position 2 years ago, and now they're currently listening to this now, and you're giving them the fast track. So you listening, even if you're listening to this for free, you're investing in yourself by listening to this podcast. And I just applaud you for that, because that's how you get to the results you want.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's been fun, right? And I think the other day, it was just like, you never know who the opportunities you want, you'll never know the people who will change your life. And it's amazing to see. And like you said, we've only just begun. So, Jake, if anyone wants to reach out to you, obviously follow him on Instagram because tons of value there. But if anyone wants to reach out to you or learn more about you, what's the best ways they can reach out?
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, Instagram is my main platform, at Jake Haveron. You know, send me a message. I love responding to people. I respond to every message.
He does respond to everyone. He's not just saying that. He does, and it's him. It's not like the whole team behind him.
Yeah, I run my Instagram right now, and I've been doing that ever since. So send me a message. What stood out to you? One thing that stood out. I love hearing that. It also helps me get feedback so I can know how to better serve. But if you want to connect, if you want to learn about like either me speaking for your team or, you know, working with you one-on-one, because one of my things that I do, Mike, and this is where I'll talk later, maybe in another episode we do, which is more business specific, is how to provide an irresistible offer, how to provide massive value, the actual tangibles. But if you're interested in the coaching or the consulting, you know, what I do before anyone pays me a single dollar is I game plan their entire business and life structure to show that they're going to make more money through the optimization than what they invest in me. And that's my guarantee, or I don't accept your money and you get it for free. Right. So if you want more info on that, you could go to www.jakehaveron.com. You could see some info on that and just shoot me a message. And I'd love to connect with you guys.
Yeah. No, Jake, thank you so much for being on. I think a lot of great advice to take over 2022 and beyond. So thank you for all that you do. And if anyone has questions for me, MikeT@RANCRE.com. And hey, dominate today and the rest of the world.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.